understanding your big purpose. As you embrace your big purpose, you can move in your life from success to significance.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk. This is Joshua Halleck. So happy to be your host today. Here at Straight Talk, we pray that you would experience and encounter God every time we open the Word of God. And so this is a word straight from God's Word, straight to your heart, straight to the point. Today, we are in a series called First Things First. Pastor Mark will be talking about living out your bigger purpose. We're in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24. And you may be going through something now that's got you stressed out, unfocused, not maybe it's a trial, and you're not really sure how this fits into the big picture. And Pastor Mark's going to be looking at God's Word to find help us find our bigger purpose, because a bigger purpose will demand a personal price that you must be willing to pay. Some of what we're going through has to do with that bigger purpose, and if we don't see that, we can lose our way. He'll talk to us about how our bigger purpose involves a process of discovering our assignment. God's actually called you to do something right here, right now, where you are, and maybe the trials you're in have helped you to lose focus. Well, today, as you hear this message, we're praying that God would help you to gain focus. And we'll see how your bigger purpose will always go beyond yourself and involve the benefit of others. The Apostle Paul in this passage is actually going through quite a lot. And he talks about how he stays on track, how he stays on focus, and how his bigger purpose pulls him through the situation at hand. Friends, as you listen today, may you be filled with encouragement, inspired by the Spirit of God, that wherever you are, you would take your next step in your journey of faith. That's our prayer. Let's get into the message today. Colossians chapter 1, living your bigger purpose.
The Apostle Paul was writing the letter of Colossians from a prison cell. He wasn't in a plush Hyatt Regency hotel saying, "Hey, James, bring me a virgin pina colada with ice as I write this letter." I mean, he was in a tough circumstance. And he's writing this letter because these believers in Colossae were having a tough time keeping first things first in their life. They were struggling with keeping their spiritual priorities. I don't know about you, but life's a battle sometimes when it comes to keeping our spiritual priorities. How about it? Do you feel the pull taking you away from things that are important, altering your attitude, pushing out your time in the Word, trying to get you to murmur and complain instead of praise and worship, trying to fill your mind with garbage instead of fill your mind with the good things of God, trying to take you out of fellowship instead of pushing you towards strong relationships? I mean, it's a battle sometimes. It's a battle to keep the centrality of Jesus Christ in our life day by day. It's a battle. And the Apostle Paul is writing to a group of people that are battling with what it means to keep Jesus at the center of their life. So he talks to them about the gospel. He talks to them about the priority of Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at verses 24 of Colossians chapter 1 through chapter 2. Paul is talking to them about if Jesus Christ is really at the center of your life, then your purpose in life will change. When Jesus comes to be the center of your life and you get your spiritual priorities straight, then your purpose in life will change. And so the Apostle Paul is talking to us about that. And I want to talk to you this morning about, actually this afternoon, right? I want to talk to you about four insights into beginning to live your bigger purpose. Your bigger purpose. You see, here's what I believe. I believe that everybody has a purpose here that God has called you to. You have a purpose in life. You may not even know what that purpose is, but God has a purpose and a destiny for your life. And some of us are busy living our little purpose, our smaller purposes. Pastor, what do you mean by smaller purpose? Well, there's little purposes in life that are good, but they're not the big purpose. You may have a little purpose like, hey, I want to graduate with a master's degree in 5 years. That's good. You say, hey, by the time I'm 30, I want to be married and have 2.5 kids. That's good. Hey, by the time I graduate from college, I want to land my first job and I want to make $75,000 a year at my first job. That's my goal. Or some of you say, I've always had this dream house in mind. I want to buy the dream house in the neighborhood that I've always envisioned it being. And that is my goal. Some of you are in high school and you're thinking, you know, my goal, if I would be a happy person, if by my senior year, I had my own car. Whoa, I could die happy if I had my own car. Tinted windows, too. And some of you are at an age where you say, my dream in life, my goal in life is that little house in southern Florida where I can just kick back near the beach and I don't want to have any responsibilities. I want to get up in my Hawaiian shirt and I want to walk out to the beach barefoot, and I just want to lay around on the beach and get fat and tan. That's what I want to do. That's my goal in life. That's my purpose, and that's what I am looking forward to in life. And those, nothing wrong with any of those goals, but I would call those small purposes in life. They're subcategories to your primary purpose in life. And some of us spend our entire life thinking and planning and working towards our small purposes, but we've never discovered our primary major purpose. And this afternoon, I want to talk to you about understanding your big purpose, so that as you embrace your big purpose, you can move in your life from success to significance. How many of you know that you can be successful in life but never do anything significant? Well, let me say that again. How many of you know that from all practical perspectives, as people look at you, you can be a success and you can achieve success in life without ever doing anything significant with your life? Because success and significance are two different things. And some people have climbed the ladder of success but have never done anything significant of transcendent value in their life that will endure into eternity, that has any impact beyond the 70 years of their life. And so the Apostle Paul is tackling that very issue in Colossians chapter 1. And he says, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you. I'm looking at verse 24 of Colossians chapter 1. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. If you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to give you 4 insights into beginning to live your bigger purpose. Moving from your small purpose, not abandoning your small purpose, but moving from your small purpose to your big purpose. Number one, you need to keep in mind that your bigger purpose will demand a personal price that you must be willing to pay. There is a price tag with significance. You will never achieve anything that's worth value without paying a price for it. Things of significance cost us something. They have a price tag. And oftentimes what keeps us from achieving anything significant in life is we look at the price tag and we say, whoa, that's expensive. I think I'll go for the cheaper thing. I'll get more of it, just cheaper. I don't want the one that costs this much. I'll stay at the lower prices. The Apostle Paul is saying, hey, significance and the bigger purposes of God in your life will cost you something, and there will be a price to pay. Don't be afraid to pay it. Verse 25 says, the Apostle Paul says, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. And in my flesh, I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Let me talk to you for a second about suffering. Because I believe that we have a reaction against suffering. We live lives that oftentimes we're allergic to suffering. And oftentimes we don't talk about it much. In fact, we like to sanitize life. Especially in the American culture that we live in, suffering is something we try not to think about. We try to avoid. We don't want to see. We try to compartmentalize suffering because we don't want it around us. We don't want to see it. If someone is sick, we put them in the hospital. And many of you don't visit the hospital because you don't want to be around suffering and sickness and disease. Some of you, while you're watching the television and some commercial pops up of a little kid with a bloated stomach and little flies flying around their eyes, in Ethiopia, you quickly change the channel because you don't want to see suffering. You'd rather not think about it. In the city of Chicago, in an average year, we have between 600 to 700 homicides. Most of them being young Latino kids or African American kids in our neighborhoods. It's so common that it barely makes the news. The neighborhood paper, the subsection of the paper.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Living Your Bigger Purpose, which is part of our brand new series called First Things First. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. His message, Living Your Bigger Purpose.
And oftentimes, we don't even want to look at it because we don't want to think about suffering. We don't want to see the face. It reminds us there's pain in life. And we want to avoid suffering at any cost all we can because we want to live under this delusion that there is very little suffering in life and we can avoid suffering if we just live our life well. In other countries and other places, you go to a funeral and even the bodies, we really decorate the bodies, right? How many of you have gone to funeral and awake and you say, whoa, she looks good. She never looked that good when she was alive. Man, does she look good. We don't want to remind people that death takes the blood out of our system, that death vanquishes life from our body. We don't want to think about those things. In other countries, there are less protections against the reality of suffering. I've been to Africa. Mozambique, Africa. And you walk along the streets of Africa and you can see suffering out in the streets. I've been to an orphanage where the kids ran around with open sores on their head and on their face because they were HIV positive. I've walked into rooms where we would never have those rooms here in America. Not a hospital, just beds. I've been in those rooms where rooms full of dying mothers. No medicine, no IV, no nice whitewashed hospital room, just dying mothers with a cover over them, gaunt, waiting on their bed until the angel of death takes them. You walk out on the streets and you see kids missing a leg, and you see people that are in starvation because they have no filters to protect them from suffering and death. It's evident, it's visible to all. Yeah, we seclude ourselves. We protect ourselves. We try to act like it's not there. But let me tell you something. Life has pain. There's pain in life. A part of life involves suffering. And you can avoid it. You can act like it's not there. You can walk by it and close your eyes. Or you can say, I understand that it's part of life. And there's times in life where we actually embrace suffering. You know, we've gotten good at it, right? Hey, some of you pop the painkiller pills because you have a little backache. And you say, I'm going to pop it because I have a backache and I got a little headache, so I'm going to pop it. And the next day you say, I'm just going to pop it just in case I have a pain. And so you're popping pills just to make sure you don't have to face any pain. Hey, when my first daughter was born, I prepared for the birth of my daughter, and I was with my daughter and was supposed to be her coach and rub her back and hold her hand and help her through the process of pain. And after 20 some hours of labor, she had gone through a lot of pain. And finally they gave her an epidural and took the baby out. So the next time around, I had a conversation with my wife, and she said, honey, this time I don't want you to rub my back. I don't want you to hold my hand. I don't want you to help me breathe. You have one job. When you get to the hospital, as fast as you can, I want you to find the anesthesiologist, and I want you to get me an epidural as fast as you can. That is your one job. And I said, yes, ma'am. We're finding ways to overcome pain. And it strikes us in light of that environment that we live in. It strikes us as extremely strange and rare and hard to comprehend that the Apostle Paul would say, I rejoice in what was suffered for you, or I rejoice in my suffering for you. How can you rejoice in suffering? He's in the middle of a prison, and he says, man, I am rejoicing that I am able to experience some suffering on your behalf. And he says, I'm filling up in my flesh. He's talking about suffering. What is still lacking in regards to Christ's affliction. Now, this is a hard verse to understand. Paul says, I fill up suffering in me for what was lacking in Christ's suffering. Now, let me tell you what it means and what it doesn't mean. First of all, it doesn't mean that Christ didn't suffer enough, and so Paul has to suffer for what Christ was deficient in, because the suffering of Christ was all sufficient for our salvation. Okay, that's clear. And there are people that don't understand that. There are people that try to indulge in penance and try to cause their own body to suffer because they don't understand that what Christ suffered was enough to forgive them. And I've seen people that have crawled on their knees for miles and miles in gravel stone and have bloody knees, and they've beaten their back until their back is bruised and red and bloody because they feel terrible over sin they've committed, and they're trying to find the grace of God, and they feel like, I need to punish myself for the sins that I've committed. And if I can punish myself enough, if I can suffer enough, maybe then maybe my sins can be atoned for. And let me tell you, that is not God's way. In fact, although they're well-meaning in their pursuit of forgiveness, it's like slapping Jesus in the face and saying, the suffering that you had was not enough. I got to make myself suffer. So you never, there's no such thing in the scripture as penance for your sin. And some of you may not walk on your knees like that, but you're punishing yourself in other ways. Now, some of you are embarrassed. You feel guilty and bad for how you've lived and decisions that you've made in your past, and you punish yourself. You verbally punish yourself. You're critical of yourself. I'm a dummy. I can never do this. And you feel like you deserve bad because you need to make up for all the bad that you've done. And I want to say what Christ has forgiven, he's forgiven. You can't punish yourself for the past. Don't try to punish yourself for the past. Jesus took the punishment himself, and it's all sufficient. You need to grasp that and understand that. Stop punishing yourself. Stop punishing yourself. And we do it in a lot of different ways. We punish ourselves in a lot of different ways. So what does it mean when Paul says, I am taking on this suffering to fulfill what Jesus started on earth, the afflictions of Christ on earth? What it means, he says, the key thing to understand is he's doing it for the church, for the body. What Paul was saying is he wasn't trying to help in his salvation. He was suffering so that what Jesus started on earth, which was the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, could be continued through believers after them. The proclamation of the gospel, as we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, we may have to pay a price so that other people can hear the good news. Do you realize that? We live in a country where we have a lot of freedom, right? We enjoy freedom here. And there is no one that walked in this church that had to look over their shoulder to see if the secret police was following. We don't have lookouts at our doors afraid that some police may invade us and drag us to jail because we're worshiping in Jesus' name. We don't have to get on some Facebook account and look at some code to see where our next home group meeting is going to be to avoid detection by the authorities, because we live right now in a free country. But that is not the case all over the world. Do you realize that right now in China, that there are pastors and Christian leaders that are serving jail sentences right now? Their crime? Leading a Bible study. Preaching the gospel. And they are viewed as enemies of the state, convicted in mock trials. Do you realize that right now in India, there are literally have been thousands of Christians that have been burned out of their homes and suffered abuse, rape, violence, beating for their Christianity because of ethnic and religious controversy over the dominant Hindus and the minority of the Christians that live there? Do you realize that there are people dying right now because of their faith in other parts of the world? So let us not take for granted the freedom that God has given us. And although we live with a lot of freedom and we have tons of opportunity, let's make sure that we don't forget the suffering church, our brothers and sisters, people that claim the same God and follow the same Savior and lift up their hands in the same way that we do and open the same kind of Bibles that we do, yet without the liberty and freedom that we have at this place. We need to be saying, thank you, God, for our freedom. Amen? Yet the Apostle Paul reminds us, as we pursue our big purpose, he reminds us not to be afraid of suffering. Because some of us will endure suffering. In fact, you may not understand this or know this, but suffering goes along with our call to be believers in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the first half of his message called Living Your Bigger Purpose, which is part of our series called First Things First. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJob.com. That's PastorMarkJob, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Job. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.